This is Blockbuster Nostalgia, brought to you by People's Choice Video. People's Choice Video Express, Tucson, Arizona, Waukegan, Illinois. Films, games, adult films, rent, buy, trade in, sell. It's your one-stop shop for all your entertainment needs.
That's pretty good.
The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes they're friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies from the 80s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
Hey, blockheads, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, the movie podcast counting down the biggest hit movies of the 1980s one by one.
Not today, though.
Today, we are still doing that exact thing, but quicker and faster, and those mean the same thing. So
yeah, actually, you're right. Yeah, we're counting down. But we've counted down what we've already counted down.
Yeah, you know
we're
the deal.
Inceptioning this podcast.
Exactly. We're the snake eating its own tail.
Yeah.
We're just, from now on, this podcast is just us talking about this podcast.
Well, we do have episodes coming up later where we do 5-minute versions of the 30-minute versions,
yeah.
2-hour versions.
And then we're going to do 2-hour versions talking about the 5-minute versions, not even about the movie.
No, we're just breaking down second by second.
Yeah, second by second. It's Star Wars Minute, but it's our own podcast. Yeah.
Until it's just a crazy amalgamation.
Yeah. It's an Ouroboros.
Yeah, exactly. And just it drives you mad. Until it's just like a...
This whole thing is just one big... attempt to drive society insane.
Yeah, in the Mouth of Madness style.
Yes,
at
exactly.
The end.
We have been possessed by Cthulhu, and we have now come to you to send you into utter madness of the incomprehensible.
You listen to enough of it, and then get an axe and murder
then,
your neighbors.
Yeah, you murder everybody and then kill yourself.
Yeah. I mean, that's not what we intended. I'm just saying.
It's just what's going to happen.
It's just what's going to happen.
What are you going to do?
So anyway, we're counting down. We're talking about the movies that we've talked about.
Yep. Let's get right to it. Before that, I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Grandin.
Yeah. So you know. So the first movie we're going to talk about is Three Men and One Little Baby.
Oh, this is a lost episode.
The lost episode for our longtime viewers, listeners. You're not viewing us.
Although
you should be, because we are goddamn handsome.
And maybe you got cameras in here. I don't know.
You probably, if you're Jeff Bezos, at least you do. Yeah. Or Sony. If you're Sony, you definitely have a camera in here.
Or I feel like this is my place, so the FBI probably.
The FBI probably.
Possibly.
The
joke's on them. It's just a lot of me masturbating.
DEA. Yeah.
Yep. All right. I hope you guys like to see that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they do. That's most of what their job consists of, I imagine.
I assume so. Yes. Yeah. And then every now and then you get to see a lady.
Yeah. And you're just like, oh, thank God.
Like, thank God we got a lady in this one.
Yeah.
And then back to,
just I suppose you just get like, you get desensitized to it at some point. Like editors of gay porn, they're just like, whatever. Dick goes in, dick comes out.
Yeah. They're just looking at cuts.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just looking for clues. The FBI is looking for clues as to my mastermind plan.
Or yep.
Whatever it is that I would.
Well, I mean, that giant turban you insist on wearing and all of the your talk of destroying America.
That's true. And my internet handle being ISIS is great.
Yes, yes.
At noamerica.com. Yeah, I mean, that puts me on the list. It puts me on the list.
It puts you on a few lists.
This is the episode that we never released because we had... So the concept, the idea of this episode is great.
The idea of the episode is very good. It is Three Men and One Baby reviewing three men and a baby.
We had an actual baby.
The baby, unfortunately... look,
destroy the fucking episode.
We don't like to say we drink on the episode, right? We all know we drink on this episode. Sometimes the booze is flowing. Maybe a baby gets a drink.
Sometimes
nobody
a baby
knows.
Gets drunk.
Sometimes a baby gets drunk. It's not anyone's fault.
Yeah, it's not our fault.
Sometimes the baby goes into a cardiac arrest. Nobody's fault. Yeah. Nobody's saying anyone was at fault in this particular situation. Certainly not us.
No, not us. Sometimes the fucking paramedics don't play ball and don't want to join the podcast.
Right, exactly. They're concerned about saving the baby. Yeah. Before they do any shenanigans, as they like to call it. I don't call it that.
Yeah, I don't either. And then to be fair, also, we had a lot of pretty okay stuff before all that, but there was a lot of anti-Semitic things said by the baby.
The baby has some issues, and you never like to blame the baby. You like to blame the parents.
Yeah.
If maybe the parents weren't actual and literal Nazis.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, the baby is a clone of Adolf Hitler, in fairness.
Yeah, he thought that saying better than saying So we were like, we can't say either of those.
Either of those things are bad.
Yeah, please don't say either of those. Yeah.
So then he just doubled down also, with the N-word.
Also, do me a favor and bleep those so that people don't know.
Don't know what
people
you
don't
said.
Know what it is I said. Yeah. Please do me a favor. That'd be great. Yeah, he said a lot of bad things, that baby. And then he went to cardiac arrest because apparently you can't give a baby Jim Beam and a whole bottle of it and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, so then.
But I think you can because, you know, you can rub them on their teeth if they're being dicks.
That's true. That's true.
I assume you can rub it on their dicks if they're being teeth.
Yeah, which is the worst kind of babies.
Yeah. So
teeth babies.
I'm not saying you should rub a baby's dick. I should make that very clear. And we didn't do that.
No, we didn't do that. We did not.
The baby, on the other hand,
he rubbed his dick a lot.
Yeah. He was out of control.
We recorded for 4.5 hours.
We did.
And it was 3.5 hours of an out of control baby. And we thought we were going to be able to use it. But then he was crazy. He berated us really bad.
It was very entertaining, but also very racist. Yeah.
Very racist.
Homophobic.
I didn't know that 18-month-old babies would just know those words.
Yeah. You know, the internet, though, it's really changed things. They're growing up fast.
Yeah.
They're growing up fast. He already had a wealth of pornographic material.
Yeah, he came out defending Bill Cosby, which was weird.
Which was odd.
And this was immediately after like he was sentenced. So
a little weird.
It was weird.
I didn't know.
Yeah, he was like, that's what people did back then. He said that.
He's just like,
I was
hey.
Like, I don't think that's what people did back then. And he's like, yeah, that's what people did back
then.
He's
Bill Cosby. If you know, those girls should feel lucky. And we're like, whoa, hey, baby.
Yeah.
But he just kept
going.
There
was a lot of whoa haze, actually. Yeah. I remember a lot of that. Like, whoa. And then a lot of like the dad being like, hey, come on now. We're all trying to have fun here. Come on.
And then the baby slapped him.
Yeah. Yeah. Slapped his own dad. Yeah. Called him a punk.
Yep. Called him the problem with America.
Yeah. Then he fought the paramedics off like crazy.
He did. I'm pretty sure he broke at least 2 noses.
Yeah. Yeah. Some ribs too.
A couple ribs probably. Yeah.
They had to like trank him.
Which you wouldn't think is good for the baby, but. Nah. With that much alcohol in his system, it didn't matter.
It didn't matter. Yeah. It's just, you know, his little kidneys will just, you know, they can't handle it.
They're growing. Yeah. They can handle anything. They'll bounce back from anything. They're young.
Young little kidneys. You can give a baby whatever and the body can handle it.
Yeah. Just bounce back.
It's like the way that they say that baby snakes have like
way more venom. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, venom than the grow up snakes. You know, it's like that.
You can really do anything to a baby. Shake it, throw it out a window, give it alcohol, give it cocaine. Baby just bounce back.
Yeah, he's still little. He'll grow. He'll grow out of that.
He'll be fine.
Stuff. Yeah.
He'll grow out of
it's
his.
It's like asthma. Cocaine addiction is like asthma to them. eventually they're 14 and they don't have it anymore.
Yep. They're just fine now.
Yeah, that's how it works.
We are going to hell.
So anyway, that's why we could.
That's 3 minutes of the baby.
We do have all the recording of that. It is crystal clear and perfect, but
we just can't release it.
We can't release it.
Our lawyers have told us.
It's very, very entertaining to listen to. We cannot release
it. Yeah, our lawyers have warned us that if we release that footage.
And we have several lawyers.
We have several lawyers. One for each of us, then also one for both of us.
Yeah. Yeah, we have. Because
one for the production
company.
Lawyers,
each of our lawyers don't get along.
Yeah, no, we have an intermediate lawyer.
Yeah.
And then we have a separate lawyer for the production company, and he has to oversee everything.
Everything else that comes around. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, then we have the entertainment lawyer. We have 4 lawyers.
Right. Not to mention the agents and the managers.
Yeah, that's a complete. And the producers. And stuff
producers. Like and our assistants, which they don't have a law degree, but somehow they still get in there. I don't know.
Yeah. I am getting a lot of moving along from the producer.
Yeah. Yeah. We should probably move on.
Alan is really pushing us
forward. I feel like we've talked all about 3 Men and a Baby. Now you know everything that happens in the movie.
You don't even have to know what the episode is.
Yeah.
Who was in that? It was Tom Selleck.
Yes.
Anyway.
He played the baby.
That was 3 Men and a Baby.
3 Men and a Baby. That leads us to episode 92. This is Rain Man. Tom Cruise, Dustin Hoffman. Academy Award winner for Best Picture.
Yeah, I won Best Picture. This is the one where one awesome, charismatic, yet dick-headed Tom Cruise joins and just that doesn't happen. No, this is the first time, right, that we talked about this in the episode. This is the first time we were exposed to autism as a nation, I think. Like,
for the most part, yeah.
For the most part, like a lot of people didn't know about autism. And then it gets a whole bunch of shit wrong.
True.
Yeah, like, it's just weird.
I mean, it gets a lot of shit that's specific to certain people with certain types of autism.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly. But it was such a broad stroke.
Right. Well, it's the problem with any of these things where You know, if representation is just one person,
yeah,
then that's just one person's experience. And obviously, we're all unique individuals.
Yeah.
That can't fit easily into a box, which is why I feel comfortably saying that every autistic person acts exactly like Dustin Hoffman in Rain Man.
Oh, man, I wish. Because then, I wonder how many people took autistic people to the fucking casino.
Yeah. A lot.
Because that's a scene that everybody remembers. Everybody remembers.
I did not win a lot of money, I got to tell you.
No, it was, you shouldn't also, have kidnapped an autistic person.
I shouldn't have kidnapped, also, because you're not slots. Didn't I guess yeah, I should have realized he wouldn't be good at the lend slots. Itself yeah,
to the autism didn't lend itself to the slots. Yeah,
yeah. But I just thought it was magic.
Yeah, yeah. You thought he was just a magician.
I thought autism was just like it's like being a mutant.
Yeah,
you know, the X-Men. You just have your mutant power of just winning at casinos.
You don't even understand like that it's card counting. You just think his power is winning at casinos.
I mean, I was very young when the movie came out, I was also shouldn't have been allowed in the casinos. But you know, I bribed a few guys, like, got a fake ID.
This is like 80s Vegas, man.
Yeah, so no one cared.
No, everybody just thought you were a midget.
I also did have mob connections, so you know.
Yeah, again, 80s Vegas.
80s Vegas, exactly.
They're like, that's that midget that has mob connections. You know, he knows old Joe Pantaloons. And, yep.
I knew Tommy Two Toes.
Yeah, you know. Tommy Two Toes. Yeah, exactly. Tommy Four Toes, too.
I didn't know him as well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Funny enough, Tommy Four Toes, only two toes.
Yeah.
Tommy Two Toes, full foot.
Yeah, it's just, they were being ironic.
Yeah.
They're known for the irony.
Those mobsters had a good sense of humor about it. They really did.
Yeah. It's their pasta. They're shooting guys in the face.
Yeah.
And the sense of humor part.
Yeah.
That's what they're known for.
A lot of like, you see that red sauce? They're talking about blood.
Yeah, they do a lot of, they call it blood marinara.
A lot of marinara.
Yeah.
You got a lot of marinara on these hands. Yeah, and you're like, really? Your hands look clean. He's like, no,
I'm talking about
the stain of blood that will never wash off from the time I murdered those two innocent people because they saw me.
But I'm Italian, so I got to say marinara.
I got to say it like it is.
Yeah.
Which is offensive to me as an Italian person, but I got to do it. It's just, it's in the code.
Little Eric is here. He likes to play the game.
He likes to play the game. You'll play the game.
He brought himself an autistic person.
He's going to play the slots. He's going to use that autism magic, huh?
He's using the magic with his hands.
You look so skinny here. Have some Alfredo.
Yeah, and then they just brought you a player.
Yeah, they just brought me Alfredo. It's good. It was really good, actually. It's very good.
Alfredo's very good.
I lost a lot of money, but that Alfredo.
Worth it. Maybe some meatballs.
Magnifique. Yeah.
How come they don't put meatballs in Alfredo sauce?
They should.
Yeah, the Dutch do it.
Yeah, man, well,
with gravy or whatever.
Why not?
They put it.
I mean, it's more. Yeah, it's not really Alfredo, no. But it works.
Yeah, it does. Also, this is a pretty good movie.
Oh no, the movie's actually very good. It's
actually really good. And
yeah.
I'm kind of sad.
And Tom Cruise is actually amazing in it.
Yeah.
I mean, Dustin Hoffman wins the Oscar for Dustin Hoffman-ness.
Yeah.
But yeah, Tom Cruise really, really good in it.
It turns out Tom Cruise. I mean,
brotherly love.
We've already talked about Tom Cruise like five times, but. Yeah. He's a great actor.
He actually is a great actor. You tend to forget what with the couch jumping and the Scientology, but Tom Cruise, fucking great.
Yeah, he like evolved. So he evolved from being a tiny guy.
When he very, very first started, just like Michael J. Fox and a lot of those guys, he was the kid.
He
was the guy that could play high school even though he was like 22.
Yeah, because he's a little dude.
Then
he moved up into leading role status, right?
Right.
Then he moves from like debonair leading role young guy into like powerhouse actor. Right.
Getting nominated for awards.
Yeah, yeah.
Back, you know, he does.
Still a heartthrob, but.
He's still a heartthrob, but doing big time movies, doing this movie. He does Born on the 4th of July, all that stuff.
Yeah. Then he moves into couch jumping, possibly closeted gay guy.
Exactly. And just like crazy action star.
And then now he's just a 106 takes of Mission Impossible stunts.
That's right. Now he's the guy
that will
jump out of an airplane and without a parachute.
Yeah, 100 times.
Yeah, 100 times just to prove that he's better than us all.
Yeah, just to prove that he cannot die.
Yeah, prove that he is the Highlander.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Nah, keep doing it. I won't die.
No.
You fucking get out of here, mortal.
Yeah.
And then he keeps jumping out.
Climb this mountain without a rope? Sure.
I think, how many times did he jump out of that fucking plane in the last
A
mission?
Lot. A lot.
I think it was like 100 times.
Probably.
Like, to what point? I feel like there's no way that the director
because
is like.
He can.
There's no way the director was like, all right, you've done it 28 times. I don't think we're there yet. And then he's like, you've done it 74 times. I don't think we're there yet. I feel like after three times, he's like, I think we got enough.
Yeah.
And Tom Cruise was like, let me see it. Nah, I'll do it again.
Yeah.
I'll do it again. And they're like, we've burnt $4 million worth of jet fuel.
And he's like,
he's like, I will jump out.
$4 million.
Yeah. I'll jump out 400 more times, sir.
Yep.
Until I get, I scratch that itch and that makes me feel better than anybody else alive.
Yeah. Until I feel alive again, yeah. Which I can only feel through putting my life very much on the line.
Yeah. Cause everything else is just a science.
I mean, I guess at this point, maybe that's it. Maybe, I mean, he's had sex with any woman he could possibly want to have sex with.
True.
And he's made all of the money.
Also, maybe men.
And probably maybe men. Who knows?
Probably that's Hollywood. Why not?
Yeah. Look,
this 2020.
I don't. I'm not. Yeah. Not yucking any yums or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Look,
yeah, you're lacking in the yucking of yums.
Yeah. No. Tom Cruise can do whatever he wants, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, he has the giant mansions. He's traveled the world.
He's got, from what I understand, an army of bottom level Scientologists. Yeah,
that just do what he wants. Mm-hmm. So that's the only start-off. At this point. The only thing that can make him feel anything is jumping out of an airplane at like 20,000 feet.
It's kind of like when the pharaohs had to have like the giant pyramids built because they're like, I need something. Yeah. He's like, I need to jump out of the plane 100 times.
Yeah.
He doesn't do that in Rain Man, but he should have.
Ooh. Now we're talking.
He just forces.
Actually, how have they not done here we go. It's Rain Man. It's the remake, obviously, because it's the age of remakes.
Yeah. Let's do that.
But now. Rain Man, Dustin Hoffman's character, is still very much autistic, but is also a badass super spy that just shoots the fuck out of people and jumps out of airplanes.
Oh, like in The Accountant?
And now, I just described The Accountant.
No, it just doesn't happen in The Accountant.
Yeah, well, no, but now I was going to say the reverse role. So now Tom Cruise is the autistic guy jumping out of airplanes. And Dustin Hoffman is his straight-laced brother.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
You know?
I feel like that's what they are in real life.
In real life, yeah.
Yeah, in real life, like, Dustin Hoffman is just, like, a kind of well-put-together, successful guy. And Tom Cruise is just an all-over-the-place fucking ADHD motherfucker that you can't reel in.
Yeah.
And that's what Rain Man is, only backwards.
Well, it's like you love and you want to be close to because he's your brother and you love him.
But goddammit, is he hard to handle?
He's hard to handle. Yeah, yeah, he's a hard to handle guy.
And then also, it would be remade as a TV show, not a series, not a movie.
That's true. And they'd both be black ladies.
Yeah, and they would be black ladies. So anyway, that was Rain Man.
That's Rain Man. That brings us to episode 93, which is Crocodile Dundee.
Ooh,
that's
right. Crocodile Dundee.
We're talking about Crocodile. We are in the top 10 movies of the 1980s.
The highest grossing movies of the 1980s.
I believe this is the 11th or something, highest grossing movie. But either way,
yeah.
We're in the top 15 at the very least. Highest gross movies of the 1980s, and we are talking about Paul Hogan's Crocodile Dundee.
In the fucking...
The one about the Bushman who has sex with a journalist, and they fall in love, and that's the movie. The whole movie.
And you think that you have a knife.
But you don't have a knife. Because that's not
this
a knife.
This is a knife.
Yeah.
It is a big fucking knife.
It's a big fucking knife.
Yeah.
It's also, this movie comes out after Rambo, or at least after First Blood.
Yeah.
So we already saw a big knife.
That's true. We already did see a big knife.
We already saw that knives can be very large.
But, you know, Rambo was kind of a downer. He wasn't banging ladies.
That's true. He was more sad. Especially First Blood is a sad movie.
Yeah. First Blood's a homeless guy lost, like, hiding in the woods.
Yep.
A homeless guy hides in the woods.
A homeless guy hides in the woods.
25 cops try to get him out of there. That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he accidentally kills one cop. Yeah. Actually, I feel like the cop kind of kills himself.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a homeless guy hiding out of the woods. But this one is a bushman.
Uh-huh.
Which is Australian for homeless guy. A bushman that just, he likes to drink
at the bar. He likes to fight crocodiles.
He fights crocs.
Or at least he tells stories about fighting crocs while in a bar drinking beer, which I feel like is every Australian.
Every Australian guy, yeah.
and half of America.
Yeah.
Half of America is also drunk in bars saying about how they fight crocodiles.
Talking about your fucking, big fat blowhards.
Yep.
But she finds out that there's this guy, and they send her out to do a story on this guy.
Yeah.
And then falls
in
love.
She's, of course, a reporter for a newspaper, which means she lives in a giant multi-million-dollar penthouse in New York.
Yeah.
Because this is 1984,
and everybody was a fucking millionaire.
Everyone was, well, at least newspaper, print media was the biggest thing in the world.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, there were just cocaine everywhere.
It was never going to, they were riding that pussy train that was never going to derail, as we'd like to say.
Yep. She's writing that too. Yeah, she goes to the Outback to finds this guy, and then comedy ensues.
Comedy and romance and a very, influential shot of her in a thong ensues.
Yeah, also very creepy because he's just like jerking off watching her.
There's a very creepy shot.
And that shot, I specifically remember that being on TV.
Right, yeah, because you were jerking off to it too.
Because I was jerking off a lot to it.
Yeah, that shot was amazing. That shot was informative to my growing up.
And I thought, you know, like they didn't cut any of that thong out.
No, because it's just thong. She's wearing a thong. It's safe. It's safe
good.
For work.
It's good.
It's very good, actually. Yeah. She's very hot. Again. They got married in real life.
Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah, good for him.
They fall in love.
They do. And then he steps on a bunch of people's heads, which is my favorite part of the movie.
At the end, he's like, they're at the subway or some shit?
Yes.
They're somewhere like
they're very much crowded. On the subway. And it's crowded. He can't get to her.
He can't get to her. And
so he just starts jumping on people's heads.
He jumps on top and runs on top of people's fucking heads.
Yeah.
And people are like,
it's like a real life Mario. He's just squishing Goombas over under his boots.
Yeah. And he's like this fucking giant Australian dude with a big knife and a hat. And people are
and
like,
he's wearing boots.
Go get it. Yeah.
Those aren't like moccasins he's wearing. Those are some hard fucking boots.
He's not in slippers or Crocs, which would have made sense because, you know, because of Crocs.
Right.
But no, he's wearing like big ass fucking crocodile hunting boots.
Yeah. They're like crocodile skin cowboy boots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he jumps up and runs on top of people's heads, on top of their heads.
Yep.
And people are like, yeah, go get her.
Yeah.
And then I was like, 30 get off
concussions
of my fucking
later.
Head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if you've ever been,
I don't know if you've ever been stepped on by a 6 foot tall Australian man in boots.
Even if you've ever been at a concert and somebody's crowd surfing, you didn't see that coming.
Oh, yeah.
And you're just like, ah, what the fuck? Like, you get kind of hit by it. Like, that's really annoying. And then for a guy to just walk on your head, like, fuck that guy.
I mean, fuck that guy. Unless that's your thing. In which case, I mean, you know, chase your bliss.
Yeah, no kink shaming.
Yeah.
But this is a thing we've talked about this before because we've seen it so much in these movies.
Right.
In the 80s.
The run to the airport scene.
If you see a guy running, you're like, go get him. Like, they're just
you're like, immediately on board.
All about it. Yeah, exactly.
If someone's shouting like, hey, I love you, you're like, yeah, let's bring this shit together.
Yeah, although I wonder if that would work now. I mean, not in the airports now because people would just tackle you down.
That's true.
And then like and then security you'd be strip will searched. Fucking kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't just run through the airport.
No.
But what if you did? What if you just like stop that plane? The love of my life is on that plane, and you just run yelling that through the airport?
Let's try it.
TikTok challenge?
Yeah.
TikTok challenge, everybody. Come on.
Yep. Let's tag that Blockbuster Nostalgia.
Yep.
Hashtag Blockbuster Nostalgia. TikTok challenge. Let's do it.
Hashtag not liable. But if you do that anywhere where it's crowded, do you think people would help you out?
No. I think people are garbage and they would just spit on you.
Yeah, people would just be like, get the fuck away from me.
Yeah. They want nothing to do.
I'll be like,
humanity has been disconnected thanks to the interconnectivity of the internet.
Yeah. What's that joke on the... it's a joke of BoJack. The more we're connected, the less we're connected.
Yeah, well, it's because the more you know people, the less you like them. So,
yeah,
we know each other very well now, and we realize that
the more you know commercials from the fucking G.I. Joe and shit in the 90s,
yeah,
full of shit,
right? Yeah,
yeah. Because the more I know, the less I like.
That's true.
That's just becoming a cynical asshole, I think.
Well, that's also us getting older and just hating more and more.
I know, being 29 like we are is such a curse.
Once you hit 29,
it's a curse, I tell you.
It's really, you just get so angry all the time.
I know, yeah. Don't turn 29, kids, like we are, because it's a curse.
Definitely 29.
Yep.
That leads us back to Dustin Hoffman. This time, he's not autistic. He's wearing a dress.
Ooh, he's a lady in this one.
He's Mrs. Doubtfire it a little bit.
All right, so we just made a big deal.
We're talking about Tootsie.
We just made a big deal about Crocodile Dundee being in the top 15 of the grocery movies of all time.
Tootsie.
I think a bigger deal is a Tootsie.
Tootsie.
Also, Tootsie comes in early on, like 81.
Yeah.
Like the beginning of the 80s.
Early movie.
So even adjusting for inflation, the beginning of the 80s to the end of the 80s, that's like $14 billion right there.
Yeah.
So and then for it to be like a movie where Dustin Hoffman pretends to be a lady so that he can get a job acting.
Yep.
Proving that, you know, men can do everything better.
Yep. Including being ladies.
Yeah. You remember when Schwarzenegger proved that we can even have babies better?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
We're really good at when we go into empower ladies, we empower the fuck out of them.
Yeah. We made movies about that shit. This is actually a really fun fucking movie.
It's actually quite a good movie.
It is.
You get some really early and great Bill Murray in this movie. Which is off forgotten about.
Yeah.
But he is such a, like, a douchebag, but like, also hilarious. To be a poet type of yeah, hilarious, yeah. Like, bohemian New York guy from the late 70s, early 80s.
And also, like, you also get Dr. Tongue or whatever the fuck that dude's name is.
Oh, that dude that's just going in.
He's just an old man. Just kissing everybody.
He's pre-Me Too and just going for it.
Yeah, he's just like, we're going to do a kiss. And then he's like, they call him Dr. Tongue.
Tongue
he
always deep.
Yeah, he goes tongue deep every single time. And it's live television.
Yeah.
Because back then.
Live television.
They don't still do the.
No.
So it used to be the soap operas.
The soap operas, yeah.
Were live. It was like watching a play and shit.
Yep.
So he would just sneak the tongue in. Also, Dustin Hoffman, it's actually an incredibly progressive movie.
In many ways.
In many ways it is. Dustin Hoffman starts off being really kind of creepy and handsy with girls and really trying to get it in all the time at that party.
Yeah, yeah.
And like touching them and shit like that. And then in a way that's not like very obvious. It's just like little subtle body language shit.
Uh-huh.
And by the end he learns what it feels like.
He comes to respect to ladies, yeah.
He's got a female friend that falls in love with him.
The only way he could really discover love was through being an old lady?
To be an ugly lady, because they make a lot of jokes about her being ugly.
Yeah, yeah. They do. I mean, it's television.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You got to be like really good looking.
Yeah.
But he brought it, though. He brought it.
He brought it. He brought that attitude.
Also, he was a piece of shit actor before that. And
he was a really good, I mean, he plays Dustin Hoffman, which is that he's a very, very good actor who everyone hates.
Yeah. Very hard to work with. But it's funny that when they show him as a lady, then it's like, oh, he's just like sparky.
Yeah. He's spunky. Yeah. Or she's just a real spark fire.
Yeah. 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 She's a firecracker. Yeah.
Firecracker, that one.
Yeah. And then that's how he gets the fucking job.
It does show that, double standards.
Yeah, it's actually pretty progressive. Also, it's does that ridiculous thing where he just is really good at makeup and high heels.
Yep.
And like, no way.
Well, you saw he was doing the makeup for the plays and the things. And
yeah, but there's no way. Like,
can we both agree that girls are good at makeup?
Yes.
And guys are better than girls at everything, according to this movie. Okay, so.
It just came naturally.
Yeah, it just came naturally.
You just have to prove that.
I assume if I wanted to be a girl, I would also be very good at it.
You would be better at it than
actual women.
I mean, to be fair, drag queens are pretty fucking good at it.
They are very good at makeup. They work very hard.
But, you know, even like, I would say 2/3 of my female friends don't wear high heels. Because they're like, fuck.
Because they're hard to wear and
but he's just like walking around them like, no big deal.
He's got that calf strength.
Yeah, not a thing you can do. You can't just put on high heels. It's like a fucking baby dinosaur.
Just walking around. Baby giraffe style.
Yeah, baby giraffe style. It's like you're covered in placenta and shit still. You can't walk around those things. But it doesn't happen though, does it? Bill Murray has to cover for him.
Yeah.
Until he can't cover for him because Bill Murray has a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Or at least a chick he's banging.
Yeah, it's more the latter than the...
Yeah. So he's got to explain this fucking lady that's supposed to be living there.
I mean, it's an old lady, though, so it's easy enough to explain away.
Again, Miss Doubtfire.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah, Miss Doubtfire.
Mrs., thank you very much. She was married like a proper English woman.
She was. Was.
Was. She's, I suppose now she could go back, but she still has that connection.
She lost her husband to alcohol.
Was it alcohol or was it polio?
It was a joke. It was a joke. It was the drink, the alcohol took him. And she said, oh, it was liver? No, he got hit by a beer truck or something like that.
See, Mrs. Doubtfire is very funny. I don't know why you don't like that movie.
Nah,
it's a very good movie.
Nah, it's all right.
That brings us to episode 95. We'll get into that later. Much, much later. But Mrs. Doubtfire, we have disagreements on. Episode 95 is Raiders of the Lost Ark. This is actually this is not... episode 95 in terms of the countdown, but we moved it here because we decided to do
all three of them in a row
since they're all top 10 movies. Yeah. As far as top 10 gross movies of the 1980s, they're all amazing. They're all Indiana Jones, it's Steven Spielberg, and it's Harrison Ford.
We love them.
And we love them. And I mean, there's only the three movies that were ever made, and that's great. And they all are incredible.
Who was our guest on the Raiders?
The first one was Wall.
Was Wallace? Wallace? Oh, Wallace. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, Wallace Book. And Raiders, pretty fucking perfect.
Raiders is pretty much perfect, isn't it?
You get to see a guy destroyed by a propeller.
You really do. It's
you get to see Nazis melt.
It has maybe the best opening in film history.
Yeah. Yeah. A giant boulder that rolls down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Defying laws of gravity and physics.
Throw me the whip. Throw me the idol.
One
very young and skinny Dr. Otto Octavius.
Yeah. 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 Dr. Octopus is in there. Yep. And then whips. You get to see whipping.
You get to see whipping, which was not common.
No.
I remember a lot of whipping pre-Indiana Jones. There was a little Zorro whipping, I remember.
There's some Zorro whipping. Maybe some Scarlet Pimpernel whipping.
Yeah. Maybe a little Scarlet Pimpernel.
Probably some old vaudeville style whipping where they were just like, see?
Lion Tamers, I guess?
Lion Tamers. Like some Looney Tunes stuff. I whipped a cigarette right off your mouth.
That's true.
But keep smoking because it's good for your T-zone.
Yeah. I mean, look, you got to keep smoking. Yeah. 9 out of 10 doctors recommend it.
And then also, that's how you keep fucking lions in check.
That's true.
You pull them out of the wild, you put them in a cage.
Oh, man.
Whips out of the way.
Do you think if you just ran into a lion today, but you had a whip, you'd be cool?
No. There's no way. There's no way that whip stops a fucking lion.
I feel like that whip stops a lion.
A whip stops a lion if the lion has learned to be afraid of the whip.
I don't know. I think it's just natural into the lion.
But like,
let's test it out.
All right.
Let's get a lion. Let's make this happen.
Isn't it with the lions? Isn't it like about how big you are?
No, like, I think it's just about
how tall you are. Or is that bears?
I mean, I am pretty tall.
Or is that hyenas?
Maybe the Lion King hyenas. No, I think if you sing a song about being prepared,
yeah, that's true.
I think you're okay with them.
They'll keep them in line. Yeah. They'll keep them in line.
At least for a little while until they eventually destroy the kingdom.
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah.
Because they're just eating all this stuff.
They're just eating nonstop. Fucking gluttons.
It was a God's Must Be Crazy Part 2. That's what I was thinking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If you're bigger than the hyena doesn't kill you, which I also think is bullshit.
That's definitely bullshit.
Yeah. I feel like
you're definitely going to be taller than a hyena. Hyenas.
I mean, the joke is there's a little boy.
Oh.
But I don't think a whip would stop a lion that's just out in the jungle. If it's maybe a lion in the old-timey circus.
Yeah.
Then the whip does it.
Okay.
But I think cracking a whip, although it's loud, though, so maybe.
It's very loud.
Yeah. Also.
Maybe they'll think you're Thor, god of thunder.
The odds of...
And they obviously are very well-versed in Norse mythology. Yeah, they
know about... And the comic books as well.
Yeah, and the comic books, so they know.
And they
don't want to mess with you, because then, you know, it's Iron Man, it's Hulk, it's the whole fucking thing.
The odds of me maiming myself with a whip...
Oh, very high.
90%.
Very high.
Yeah.
But if you lose an ear to the whip, but you save your life from the lion, net win.
And then I get to sit in an Australian bar and tell people how I...
How you beat a lion.
Oh, I lost an ear, but I beat the lion.
You beat the lion because you wrestled it, and it bit your ear, but then you strangled it to death.
Fuck yeah.
With your bare hands.
I made a coat out of it, but customs took it away from me.
No, then you just buy a lion skin from a poacher.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I like to support poachers.
Yeah, obviously. You support your local poachers, people. They're out there. They're working hard. They're killing animals they shouldn't be killing.
We've got new lows.
We've said a lot of bad things in this particular episode.
Some new depths on this one.
We've gone real bad on this one.
But Raiders, a perfect fucking movie.
A perfect fucking movie.
You get melted claymation Nazis.
Ah, so good.
But also, and we talked about this on the episode. This was the episode where, this was a movie that made me think that anthropology was going to be so cool. Archaeology. Cool.
Just adventures nonstop.
You're just gonna be fucking fighting Nazis and whipping dudes and shooting them in the stomach.
Fighting dudes with swords, yeah.
And finding ancient relics that you then get to keep.
Finding like sexy chicks in bars. Yeah.
None of that.
No.
You're just dusting. Digging shit gingerly because you don't want to break stuff.
Very gingerly.
Gingerly digging or stuff.
Or sitting in a room somewhere having samples brought to you and then
by
looking
your interns.
At them.
Yeah. And then looking at them and being like, oh, yes, look at this.
Carbon
at the,
dating.
The
them.
Painting on yeah. this is a beautiful.
Writing a
century.
Book that nobody but other archaeologists read.
Yeah, we'll read exactly. Yeah.
And then maybe you get quoted in like a blurb that runs on like USA Today or something. Or
yeah, and then Indiana Jones comes out and yeah. everybody's like, is that what you do? And you're like, I hate Indiana Jones because
yep.
it's
and
not
that's
what
every
I do.
Archaeologist hates Indiana Jones, which is bullshit.
No, love Indiana Jones, goddammit. It's the best thing.
It's so good.
Also, I always thought that you were going to be digging up dinosaur bones left and right.
Left and right.
I thought they were everywhere.
I mean, there were so many dinosaurs, right?
Yeah. How do we
They're
know
huge.
The because there were so many of them. I just thought we just found them everywhere.
Everywhere. You would think there's that many dinosaurs. They were that huge. Their bones got to be fucking everywhere.
Yeah. It turns out my backyard when I was a kid, no dinosaur bones. No.
I just think
also, I'm not allowed to whip my sister now for some reason.
It's ridiculous that your parents said that.
All right. Now I'm kind of mad at Indiana Jones.
You just should have kept digging. Eventually, either dinosaur bones or lava men. And either way, I think that's a win.
Or mole men.
Mole men. Yeah. You could get in a mole men situation. Maybe giant worms.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You could do yeah. some graboids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You can get some graboids in
maybe
there.
Some, what were the ones in Time Machine?
The Morlocks. Morlocks.
Morlocks, yeah.
Yeah, the Morlocks. Yeah, those
in
are the
Time
Morlocks.
Machine or in X-Men.
Yeah.
And the X-Men ones.
They just took the same fucking name.
Yeah, they just took the same name.
Yeah.
It was fine. It was it was outside of the copyright limitations.
Yeah, exactly. It was public domain.
Public domain at that point. So because
of the books.
Because of the books.
Yeah. You just keep digging until... Or China. You get China.
Or you get to China. And then you get coronavirus.
Yep. Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that.
Anyway, Indiana Jones, Nazi monkeys.
Nazi monkeys. Nazis. John Rhys Davis.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Which brings us to the next movie.
Which is no movies, because we're done for today.
Which is going to be next time.
We'll be back next time. We're talking about the rest of Indiana Jones, obviously. And some other stuff. And until then, though, definitely follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Podomatic. We're Blockbuster Nostalgia, wherever all things are.
Yeah,
we're there.
Some cool stuff coming up.
We got a lot of fun stuff coming up.
We always doing cons and live episodes and all that stuff. We'll do some more of those.
Yeah, keep in touch. Keep on the pulse as we wrap up the 80s. Before the end of the year, we'll be talking about them 90s shit.
Hells yeah.
Until then, I'm EG Sites.
I'm Francisco Rondin.
Wishing you a good night and a good journey.
We love you.